Good morning. Today is Sunday, June 21st. Welcome to the Plum Line, your daily world brief. Here's what mattered in the past 24 hours. The story most people are reading this morning is Vice President Vance arriving in Switzerland for US-Iran ceasefire talks, and that story deserves the attention it is getting. Bloomberg confirmed overnight that both delegations are in position and poised to begin direct negotiations. The Financial Times is calling it crunch talks. The New York Times has a guide to the four questions on the table. All of that is the right thing to be tracking. Here is the pattern the wire alone won't assemble for you. On the same morning that Washington is attempting to close out a Middle East war at a Swiss resort, London is preparing for the possibility that Keir Starmer won't be prime minister by the end of next week. The Financial Times reported this morning that some of Starmer's own cabinet members believe he could announce his resignation imminently. Greater Manchester Mayor Andy Burnham is already being discussed as his most likely successor. Meanwhile, Bloomberg reported that Russian-occupied Crimea halted public fuel sales following Ukrainian drone strikes, not a political gesture, but a logistics rationing measure indicating that Ukraine's sustained drone campaign has reached the supply chain sustaining the occupation. One morning. Three capitals. Three simultaneous signals about where the West's strategic positioning actually is. Yesterday, this brief noted that Bloomberg had moved its language on Iran from postponed to stalled. Today, Vance is on the ground in Switzerland. The read here, that reversal, from outright stall to the most direct face-to-face in weeks, in under 24 hours, is itself the first thing worth interrogating before reading anything else Geneva produces. Vance arrived, Starmer is leaving. Vice President Vance landed in Switzerland for direct talks with Iranian officials, the most consequential diplomatic engagement since Washington's military campaign against Iranian assets concluded and a deal in principle was announced. Bloomberg, the Financial Times, and the New York Times all confirm talks are underway. The Times laid out the four questions on the agenda: the scope of any enrichment pause, the sequencing of sanctions relief, Iran's regional proxy network, and the long-term verification architecture. In a separate analysis, the Times concluded that neither the military campaign nor the deal in principle has eliminated Iran's underlying nuclear breakout capacity. The material for a weapon remains a policy decision away, not a technical one. The historical parallel is not the 2015 nuclear agreement, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action that Obama negotiated and Trump later abandoned, but the 1994 agreed framework with North Korea. That deal paused Pyongyang's plutonium program and was celebrated as a diplomatic breakthrough. It unraveled by 2002, when North Korea was found to have been running a covert enrichment program through the agreement's entire life. The mechanism that failed, sequenced concessions require sustained domestic political will on both sides to see the sequence through. Washington's commitment to the fuel oil deliveries the deal required eroded across two administrations. Pyongyang accelerated a covert track. Iran's political calendar and Washington's are both compressed today in structurally similar ways. The professional call. Geneva produces a ceasefire communique, and the communique's actual value depends entirely on whether it contains three specific elements: a named date for the IAEA, International Atomic Energy Agency, to resume inspections, a timeline for sanction sequencing, and a named dispute resolution mechanism. Without all three, this is a pause, not a process. What I'd watch for next? The joint statement text, expected within 48 hours of the session's close. If all three elements are present, treat this as a functional framework. If the statement stays at commitment to continued dialogue and shared principles, the underlying antagonism has been deferred, not resolved. The falsifier for any optimistic read, an IAEA statement confirming inspection access, has been restored within 72 hours of Geneva's communique. This brief has tracked IAEA silence on Iran verification for 2 weeks. That silence is now the operational line between a deal with teeth and a photo opportunity with a communique attached. Three other things worth knowing. Starmer on the brink. The Financial Times reported this morning that some of Keir Starmer's own cabinet members believe he could announce his resignation as early as next week, with one ally describing him as mulling realities. Greater Manchester Mayor Andy Burnham, who served as Health Secretary under Gordon Brown and ran for Labour leader twice, is already being discussed as the most likely successor. The read here: once cabinet ministers begin naming successors openly, the formal departure in British politics typically follows in days, not weeks. That was the Theresa May pattern in May 2019. A Burnham government would carry different fiscal instincts than Starmer's Treasury team has held, and the FT separately raised the question of whether new leadership might revisit Britain's post-Brexit European relationship. A question with direct consequences for transatlantic trade alignment and defense coordination. Crimea runs dry. Bloomberg reported that Russian-occupied Crimea halted public fuel sales following Ukrainian drone strikes on logistics infrastructure. Civilian fuel rationing on occupied territory is a concrete indicator that Ukraine's sustained drone campaign is degrading the supply chain Russia uses to sustain the occupation, the same network that moves military logistics across the Kerch Strait. The FT's morning headline captures the strategic picture accurately. Putin's war machine sputters in drone age. The fuel queue in Crimea is the evidence. Colombia votes today. A high-stakes national election is underway in Colombia, with the New York Times running a full guide to the candidates and expected results. Colombia is the largest recipient of American security assistance in Latin America, a critical partner in counter-narcotics policy, and increasingly relevant in critical minerals supply chains. Presidential outcomes in Bogota have a direct read-through to Washington's posture on Venezuela, migration through the Darien Gap, and drug interdiction. All live files in Washington that don't pause because Geneva is busy. Echoes. The 1979 parallel is worth naming explicitly. In the first months of that year, the United States was trying to manage the collapse of the Shah's government in Iran while Britain was in terminal political crisis. James Callaghan's Labour government fell in a vote of no confidence in March 1979, and Margaret Thatcher took office in May. The Iranian hostage crisis began in November. Western coordination on Iran was complicated throughout by the fact that the two most important Atlantic partners were operating on different political timelines and with different strategic instincts about the region. The mechanism that mattered then, UK leadership transitions, affect the speed and texture of allied consultation, not just the stated policy. A new government needs months to staff its foreign policy apparatus, build relationships with allied counterparts, and develop genuine situational awareness on a fast-moving file. The read here: that is the pattern today's Starmer news fits into, and it argues for watching the Burnham succession question with at least some of the same urgency as the Geneva talks themselves. The quiet things. The Siberian fire cluster northwest of Krasnoyarsk, tracked in this brief since June 14, is now in its eighth consecutive day of high-intensity satellite detection. NASA fire data from Sunday morning shows multiple high-confidence sources at 59 degrees 63 degrees N across central Siberia, with individual fire radiative power readings above 400 megawatts. A separate high-confidence detection at 63, 66 degrees N in interior Alaska registered nearly 240 megawatts on the same satellite pass. No major English-language wire service has made either a standalone story. At this duration and intensity, the ecological footprint is consequential regardless of what the wire has decided to cover. The flooding this brief flagged as a Gulf Coast and Texas story yesterday has moved significantly north. Flood watches and warnings are now active across Kansas, Missouri, and central Illinois. The Kansas River corridor near Topeka, the Missouri River near Kansas City, and dozens of counties from Peoria south to the St. Louis metropolitan area. This is no longer a regional weather event. It is a multi-state infrastructure stress event covering a broad swath of the central United States that is receiving far less wire attention than its geographic footprint warrants. Overnight, U.S. Space Force tracking cataloged six new objects from China's CentiSpace 1 navigation satellite constellation, three new SpaceMobile commercial satellites, and five additional Guoing objects Beijing's state-backed broadband network, the Starlink counterpart. Yesterday, this brief noted a cluster of Guohang additions. Today's data shows the expansion continuing without pause. The cumulative orbital buildout remains almost entirely absent from major English language coverage. How I'd act on this? If you follow UK politics, the next 72 hours of cabinet statements are the read. The question for anyone tracking British defense commitments, transatlantic trade, or European policy: does a Burnham government represent continuity on Ukraine support and NATO posture, or does it signal a reorientation? Ministers willing to name a successor publicly this week are the tell before the formal announcement. If you're tracking Iran, read the joint statement text when it drops, not the press conferences. Three things to look for: a named IAEA inspection date, a sanctions sequencing calendar, a named dispute mechanism. Zero present, photo opportunity. All three, a framework worth watching. One or two, the harder negotiation is still ahead of everyone. If you hold energy exposure, two readings from today. Crimea's public fuel distribution broke down under Ukrainian drone pressure, which is a logistics impact indicator, not a symbolic one. And the New York Times reports that China, having purchased Iranian oil at discounted prices throughout the war period, is sitting on full strategic reserves, meaning Beijing is insulated from any sanctions reimposition that catches other buyers off guard. Both facts belong in the same model. If you're in Kansas, Missouri, or central Illinois, the storm system that produced Gulf Coast flooding last week has moved north and is generating a secondary flooding event across the plains and upper Mississippi basin. River gauges on the Kansas and Missouri rivers now matter more than rainfall totals. Three capitals simultaneously revised their assumptions today. Washington sat down with Tehran in Switzerland, Kyiv put Crimea's fuel supply on ration, and London began preparing for life after Starmer. Watch the joint statement from Geneva for the named IAEA date. Watch Downing Street for the name of a successor. Whichever surfaces first tells you which capital is moving faster than the wire thinks. That's the plumb line for today. Find the full brief and cited sources at the plumbline.site. Back tomorrow.